Good afternoon, and welcome to Security in South America. I'm your host, Sam Logan. Today's show focuses on AK-103 rifles and Venezuela's intention to build an AK-103 rifle factory in Venezuela. It would be the first such factory in Latin America. The first shipment of 30,000 AK-103 rifles has arrived in Venezuela, weeks ahead of the government's claim that they would arrive at the end of June. Another 70,000 rifles are due to arrive before the end of the year. It's interesting to note that U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, on his March 2005 visit to Brazil, said he can't imagine why Venezuela needs 100,000 AK assault rifles. With the possibility of an AK rifle and munitions factory in Venezuela, what might be the response from the United States? Also, what are the chances that any of these assault rifles will find their way into the hands of Colombia's revolutionary armies or other such groups throughout the region? The following column explores some of the arguments and ideas swirling around Venezuela's arms purchases, big and small. I'll be back with you shortly to offer other ideas for consideration, so sit back and enjoy.
The Kalashnikov threat in Venezuela. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced on the 30th of May that the first shipment of 30,000 AK-103 assault rifles would arrive in Venezuela by the end of June. On the same day, Alexander Badistan, spokesman for the Russian arms manufacturer Rossoboron Export, said the company would grant Venezuela a license to manufacture AK-103 rifles. Chavez's statement confirmed that claim. The Russians are going to install a Kalashnikov rifle plant and a munitions factory, so we can defend every street, every hill, every corner, he said. The 30,000 rifles that are due to arrive in Venezuela are part of a larger arms build-up that has caught the attention of US and South American leaders. Yet for all the media coverage of new fighter jets and submarines from Russia, patrol boats from Spain, and the spectre of ballistic missiles from North Korea, a threat that has been overlooked has become more serious. The Venezuelan military does not employ strict control over its stockpile of small arms and light weapons and ammunition for those weapons. According to the Federation of American Scientists, FAS, 400 of the 9,380 rifles seized from illegal groups in Colombia from 1995 to 2000 bear the symbol of the Venezuelan Armed Forces. The US-based RAND Corporation think tank claims that there were at least 21 known arms trafficking routes between Venezuela and Colombia in 2003. Reports from Jane's Information Group claim that members of the Venezuelan Armed Forces continue to smuggle into Colombia small numbers of Venezuela's old FAL rifles. An AK-103 rifle factory based in Venezuela could add hundreds of thousands of guns to Venezuela's poorly controlled weapons stockpile. Meanwhile, Transparency International ranked Venezuela in its 2005 Corruption Perceptions Index as the third most corrupt nation in Latin America, more honest than Paraguay and Haiti. Rampant corruption, combined with strong ties between some Venezuelan security officials and leftist rebels from the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, creates a scenario that places Venezuela in the center of a region-wide black market. Adding hundreds of thousands of assault rifles creates a temptation for Venezuelan criminals to sell these weapons on the black market, creating a region-wide security threat. Central America has traditionally served as a reliable source of black market weapons for the FARC. Paraguay and Brazil are also known resources for weapons, ammunition, and other materials. Venezuela has been seen as a major transit country, and not high on the list of source countries for arms flowing into Colombia. A new weapons factory there may change that fact. Corruption helps create and maintain all sources of black market weapons. And as governance becomes less a priority in Venezuela, impunity and corruption develop into norms. Billions of dollars dog-eared for government programs have simply disappeared, most likely siphoned off by corrupt officials, according to Gustavo Coronel, a former member of PDVSA state-owned energy giant's board of directors, who now monitors corruption in the Chavez government. Coronel claims that social programs such as Plan Bolivar 2000 and its replacement program, the Centralized Social Fund, are defunct and run by military officers who have little to no oversight. It has become clear that leaders of Venezuela's military, as long as they remain loyal to Chavez, receive no oversight from Caracas. Venezuela cannot offer any reasonable assurances that AK rifles purchased from Russia or manufactured in Venezuela will not leak into the hands of the FARC or other extra-legal groups in the region. In the meantime, Chavez continues to spend billions on planes, boats, submarines and helicopters, claiming the Venezuelan military needs a facelift. While this may be true, the more important matter lies with Chavez's new batch of AK-103 rifles and those that follow. Fighter jets, submarines and patrol boats are all part of a conventional army, quickly rendered useless by an opponent's missiles. Considering Chavez's adherence to guerrilla warfare and the success asymmetrical warfare has had in the recent past, AK rifles are much more of a threat than any attack helicopter or fighter jet.
Stockpile controls and end-user certificates are very important in the world of small arms and light weapons. South American countries are notorious for lax handling of assault rifles and ammunition. End-user certificates are easy to forge, and military officials that sign the real certificates are easy to bribe. I'm not too worried about a larger conspiracy within the Venezuelan military to supply the FARC and other groups with AK-103 rifles. But it is clear that dozens of soldiers who are issued AK-103s will find ways to leak these weapons to the FARC, just like they have sold their old FAL rifles. Sources in Venezuela claim that soldiers often sell their rifles to contacts within the FARC, then report that they lost their weapon in the bush. People I've talked to outside the Venezuelan military claim that such practices are common. But what happens when an outpost far from Caracas receives a few crates of AK-103s for soldiers in that region? It seems like a temptation that facilitates corruption. Meanwhile, in Colombia, President Uribe has already played two cards since his re-election. First, he's offered the FARC peace talks. And second, he's announced the addition of 40,000 new police officers, specifically assigned to Colombia's rural regions. I doubt the FARC will be up for peace talks, and with more moving targets creeping into their turf, there will be a need, as always, for more weapons. The question is, will those weapons continue to come in bit by bit, or will the FARC leverage Venezuelan contacts to arrange a larger shipment of AK-103s? With a new factory up and running, and thousands of AK-103s to go around, who will miss a few crates here or a few crates there? Next time we will talk about populism in South America and how this year's presidential elections so far have begun to shape regional geopolitics. You have been listening to Security in South America. I am your host, Sam Logan.